it's trusting God. It's demonstrating your hope and your truth and your trust in him. You know, we're going to hear from heaven today. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says, let's read that together. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Dear God, we need to know and understand that the future that God gave you is full of hope and peace and not of evil. You know, when you and I trust God enough to cling to his word and focus on him, that's when we are partakers of his divine nature. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to be distracted. Don't be distracted. Hope is the ingredient that causes you to rise. Any bakers in here? If you bake, if you don't have baking soda, your cake is not gonna rise. Hope is like our baking soda. It's the ingredient that causes us to rise. And family, true or not true, isn't it time to rise? It's time to rise above the assaults of the enemy. It's time to rise above the distractions that are before us. Hope is knowing something good is gonna happen. I will often say, hope something good is going to happen to you today. You know why? Because that's what hope is. Hope is knowing. You may not know the details, but you know because of who God is, something good is going to happen. And you know what? When something bad happens to you, the promise is God's going to take that bad and turn it around for your good. You know what? We can say hope is attaching to his future plans for you and I. Jeremiah 29:11 should be burning in our spirits. That's a promise that you and I can hold on to. Hope is belief that the future will be better than the present and that I have the power to do something about it. Look at your neighbor and say, you have the power to do something about it. That's what hope is. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. Everybody say amen to that. You know what amen means? So be it. So be it. I got that. Amen means yes, sir. I'm so be it in my life. Hope is evidence of you knowing the word of God. It's a great indicator. If we start slipping into doubt, fear, or unbelief, all it means is we're putting more hope in the enemy than we are in our God. That's all that means. So it's a great way to check yourself. How are you feeling right now? What's going on the inside? What are you sensing right now? No, here's some great advice for all of us. Never trust any conclusion that is void of hope. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can't trust any conclusion that doesn't have hope attached to it. You know why? Because your God promised you in Jeremiah 29:11. So very important. You know, I have a friend of mine who called me up. I forget which day of the week it was, but he said, Freddie, I just want to thank you and your wife Terrellyn for doing what you do. He said, man, I watch you minister, you know, and man, there's just something about, you know, what I'm seeing is you've gone beyond believing and you are walking in knowing. And that blessed me so much, because when you and I settle it, there's a difference between believing something. There's a difference in, but raise your hand if you believe in God. That's good. You know, the devil believes in God. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's a total different scenario when you know God, When you know God, it's different. It's that you know God, you know that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You know that he has your back, and there's victory in that. There's nobody greater, no weapon. Somebody say, no weapon. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. So it doesn't matter what trick the devil used, it can't take you out. And that's the type of boldness and confidence you can walk in when you know God. Somebody say, I know God. I know he has my back. And family, that's the way we have to, we have to flow from that perspective. We have to function from a knowing that God is good and how good he is. It's so important that we allow what the word says to minister into our hearts to such a degree that it comes out of our lives. You know, the world needs hope. We need hope. And it's important to understand that if anybody is going to walk in it, it's going to be believers. Believers. You know what believers do? Believe. It's not your question. But believers believe. So this is what we ought to do, family. Believe what he says. Believe his word. Believe his truth. Hope makes all the difference in your mindset. Your future, please get this. Your future is locked in your thinking. Whatever you do, get an understanding of what you are meditating on is producing in your life. Your future is locked in your thoughts. What you think about matters. You have a choice. You and I can meditate on the promises or we can meditate on the problems. We'll always have a choice. Your meditation will magnify and empower whatever you invested in. Whatever you spend quality time going over, whatever you invest meditation in, you can have that. You're going to magnify it. You're going to empower it. Here's some real good advice for all of us. Never empower problems. Never empower problems. Never meditate and focus on problems. Don't identify with the problem. Identify with Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And you are his. Your identity in Christ is full of life. A life that is filled with the character and the nature of Christ is a life that is full of hope. Look at somebody and say, you got this. You got this because he has you. So, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Where are you guys going? Look at your neighbor. Make sure they head in the right direction. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Those of you who are watching online, I know it's going to be on the screen, but get your word out. Put your hands on the word of God. It's critical for you and I to see it for ourselves. You know, I was with a friend of mine, with a group of guys yesterday, and we do this workout devotion called Pump and Praise. And my friend Chuck made this statement. He said, faith plus trust equals peace. And I was like, that is so good. And it's absolutely true. Faith plus trust equals peace. Where does your faith lie? Who are you trusting? If you find yourself lacking peace, all you got to do is go back and reaffirm your faith in God. Dedicate your commitment and your trust in him. You know what happens every single time? Peace. Peace will manifest and God's word will do exactly what it says in his word. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Anybody here love God? This is talking to you. "To those who are called according to his purpose." According to whose purpose? According to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. For those of us who he knew when we weren't thinking about him. He's talking to you and I. "He also predestined to be conformed to the image of your dad, your upbringing, your neighborhood." Is that what it says? Who are we conformed in the image of? His son. "That he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Jesus was the beginning. You and I are the continuation of that. You and I are continuing the work of the Messiah. Conforming to the image of his son includes our perspective. Human perspectives limit you and I to doubt, to fear, and to fall into unbelief. With God, the impossible is unlocked. That's our born identity. That's our identity. That's you and I attaching our lives to Christ. Don't relate to life like an unbeliever. That is such a profound statement, because all we have to do is begin to look at the situation or the circumstance and attach to it, fear, doubt, and unbelief shows up. And if we're not mindful, we'll begin to flow and function and believe like an unbeliever. Don't relate to life like an unbeliever. Look at your neighbor and say, "Believers believe, bro." Look at him. "Believers believe, bro." Just keep believing. Just keep believing. Raise your hand if you believe God. Raise your hand if you believe God. If you trust God, keep believing. Settle that in your heart. Your perspective translates you into a reality at the speed of thought. Your perception will translate you into a reality at the speed of thought. You know what makes us mad, sad, angry, depressed, anxious? Thought. And we can go from being happy, fulfilled, joyful, and we could think on something and we could end up translated into another reality. It matters what we think, especially when there's trials and tribulations, especially when there's shortcomings, disappointments. It matters what we attach our thoughts to, because whatever that is, that's what we're deciding to be translated into. Anxiety is not your reality. Depression is not your reality. Sickness is not your reality. Fear, unbelief, doubt, that's not your reality. You are a believer. You are a victorious overcomer. You are a child of God. Your belief system is your filter, and it's producing your reality. Whatever you are believing is showing up. You guys heard the statement, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. And that is so true. Your belief system is producing your lifestyle. Whatever you have in your heart is what you identify with. It's what you accept, and it's what you keep. You know what the The good news in that statement is we can choose what we think on. We can choose what we meditate on. There's a scripture in Philippians. I think I have it in our notes. Yeah, it's coming up next. We'll look at Philippians 4, 8 and 9. You know, your beliefs are made up of what dominates your heart. And you know why it's so important to have a mental toughness and a resolve to stand and trust the word above all else? Because what you go through, if it gets in you, you stay there. You don't go through it. Things that should have happened to you prevented you from going through it. Things can happen to you. Things will happen to you. But you keep moving forward. You keep doing what God has called you to do. Patty, as you continue to trust God, He's going to redeem the time. God never wastes a hurt. He's going to minister through you, and nations will be transformed because of your obedience. So whatever you do, you continue to fight the good fight of faith. You stand strong. You heard from God. God is saying He heard your prayers. And He favors you. Begin to minister. Even if you have to minister to yourself, you get in the minister and you teach that message that's in your heart and watch. And you'll stand on a platform that's going to change lives. Whatever's in your heart, you identify with. It's what you accept and keep. You know, I remember, here's the thing. There are two ways. We can be superficial, or we can be supernatural. Can I say it that plain? I'm a Mung's family. I can say that, right? We can be superficial, or we can be supernatural. Is that plain? What is it that we are believing, family? I'm encouraging you to step out on crazy faith. You begin to just trust God and do whatever you see in your heart. Step, it doesn't matter if it makes sense. Thank God it doesn't make sense, because it makes faith. Faith and sense don't coexist. If it doesn't make sense, you're on the right track. It means you're in the right place. I remember we went to Disneyland as a family. Was that last year? Went to Disneyland as a family, and it was the forecast was rain, and we just started. We were like, nope, not on our family vacation. We've been saving up, we've been planning, we got the kids together. We went to Disneyland, we rented a big truck, and we were like, you know what? It is not gonna rain on our holiday. And we were crazy enough to wake up in the morning and command the clouds not to rain. We were crazy enough to believe it. And don't you know, it didn't rain. So the forecast said one thing, and our reality said something totally different. We got to hang out with Mickey and them uninterrupted. And we had a great time. And we had a half an hour left in the park, and it started raining. And I was like, I'm good. And we went and got our little treats and snacks and finished up at the gift shops and went home happy. What do we believe? Sickness can't stay in your body. Anxiety, pressures on your mind can't stay in your body. What are you saying about it? What do you believe? You're a catalyst for what God's gonna do. Stand up, Karen. I know you got your baby, my fault. I'm just obeying God. You're a catalyst for your family. As you go, so goes your family. I encourage you, whatever you do, every decision you make, every step you make, understand. You ever, this is the picture I'm seeing. You ever drive and somebody's following you? When someone's following, you don't do the same thing. You're watching them. You're like, you know, they're gonna make this light. Okay, I won't take it. So what I'm seeing is, as you go, so goes your family. What you desire to see in your family, attach your hope to, attach your life to. Your family is gonna come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're gonna flow in the Spirit, and you're gonna see the promises of God manifest in your life. Let's stretch our hands towards her. Dear Heavenly Father, we just set ourselves in agreement right now. Father, we trust you. We believe you. And we know that what you are not a man that you should lie. And we know that it's going to manifest in her life. We thank you, Lord, that she is constantly reminded that they are looking and following her actions. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Your voice has please hear this. Your voice has direct access to your heart. So what you are saying is never hindered. It goes straight to your heart. Now, we have a self-defense mechanism. Someone else says, I know for me personally, when someone says, you can't do that, all of a sudden I get all kind of supernatural strength. It's going down. It's going to happen. Because we're built like that. But when you say something, it has direct access right to your heart. You say, I'm stupid. If you say, why did I do that? That was so dumb of me. If you say, I'm sick. If you say, I'm tired. If you say, I don't know why I can't get it. It goes straight to your heart. Please get an understanding of how powerful your tongue is, and you guard it like never before. Because your heart is never going to reject what comes out of your own mouth. You have a direct access. And again, the good news is you can say things on purpose, and they go straight to your heart. That's what we're about to read in Philippians. You choose what your voice is carrying. You have the ability to choose what your voice is carrying into your heart or into the atmosphere. You can choose worry or the word. You can choose faith or fear. You can choose hope, peace, trust, love. You can choose. Fill your voice with the word of God. Say that with me. I'm going to fill my voice with the word of God. Your voice, and here's the other thing. If your voice is void of the word, it should not reign in your life. You can't trust your voice if it's not full of the word of God. You can't trust emotions. Emotions will lead you astray, leave you hanging, and deny they ever had anything to do with it. You cannot trust your emotions. But here's the thing. You can always trust the word of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read that together. Let me get that on the screen, team. Ready? Read. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Look at verse 9. The things which you learn in me, these do, and the God, what's it saying right here? What's the promise? What's his promise? And the God of peace will be with you. Is that good news? We get to choose what we, you know what? God would be an unfair God if he put this in the scriptures, if we couldn't do that. We can choose to meditate on things that are going to benefit us. And peace will be the result of it. Meditate on the things in Philippians 4:4-9. Commit to manifesting the life of Christ. Commit to his image, his likeness, and dominion. Overcoming life is yours already. It's just about you and I committing to it now. What are we going to do concerning it? Dominion and overcoming does not happen automatically, even though at the new birth, each of us were made righteous in God. You know, in Galatians 4:9, there's an example of the Apostle Paul praying for born-again believers that Christ be formed in them. Now, if we're not mindful, we could think, okay, well, I'm born again, Christ is in me. But the reason why Paul prayed for the believers in Galatians 4:9 is because there's a difference between Christ being in you and Christ being formed in you. There's a difference. And when you and I allow Christ to be formed in us, it changes what manifests in our lives. You know, there needs to be a revolution of this generation just believing the word of God. It really does. There's no such thing as we can't turn to the second chapter of opinions. It's not in there. You know what? We have got to get to the point where we die to self. We die to our opinions should be filtered through the word of God. You know how much of manifesting and the kingdom of God flowing would take place if we just choose, you know what, from today on, what's the date today? 6/8, oh, Cardinals. On November 8th, we should all make a declaration. From this moment forward, I am going to throw out my opinions and just grab hold of the word of God. It'll change everything. It'll change our perspective for sure. It'll change the way we interact with our Father. Manifesting the life of Christ destroys the work of the devil. You know, that was the purpose Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And because you and I are his, our purpose must be attached to his purpose or his reason for coming. You and I must commit to destroying the works of the devil. Exercising our authority, doing what we're called to do without the life of Christ manifesting will never produce long-lasting results. All we do is run the enemy off temporarily. All we do is cause him to scatter. But if there's an inroad, he'll always come right back. You know, once Jesus stood, spoke the word, you ever notice that the enemy wasn't chasing him? How did he defeat him once and for all? You ever think about that? Why are we constantly kicking the devil out of our conversations, our mindsets, our motives? Why is that a constant? You know, the only way to shut the door on the enemy in our own personal lives is to never give him an inroad. And an inroad is something that the door's already open, so an enemy can come and go as he wants. And if you and I don't make a decision to close the door on the enemy, to eliminate his rights to come and go as he pleases, will struggle. I'll prove this out. Some of y'all are looking at me like, what? I'm going to prove this out. Forgiveness is a pathway to freedom. Is there anybody in your life that took you a minute to forgive? That's like a runway. That's like a landing strip for the enemy. It feels good to hold on to. They ain't do that to me again. Shoot, I ain't gonna take that. You know, it's not gonna get over on me. And we got a lit up pathway right there. And the enemy can come in at any time because it feels good to hold on to that grudge or that. You know, we think we're doing something, and all we're doing is inviting the enemy to come and go. Am I telling the truth? Forgiveness frees the forgiver. And when we know and understand that, we'll forgive quickly. How many of you want to be free? Raise your hand if you want to be free. Forgiveness frees the forgiver. And as we desire freedom, we can be quick to forgive. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, God called David a man after his own heart. And reading the scriptures, we know that David didn't do things that were godly all his ministry. But somehow, David was considered the best king, the favored king. Somehow, David was still considered a man after God's own heart. Now, I don't know if I listed this in your notes or not, but listen to some of these titles of David's Psalms. Psalm 25. The title of that is A Plea for Deliverance and Forgiveness. Psalms 32, The Joy of Forgiveness. Psalms 39, Prayer for Wisdom and Forgiveness. Is it safe to say David was quick to forgive? Is it safe? If you're singing about it, it's in your heart. He was quick to forgive. Forgiveness is another great example. Forgiveness was the last action modeled by our Lord. In Jesus' earthly ministry, the last thing he demonstrated was forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was the last thing he demonstrated. How much more you and I? And if you've ever really forgiven somebody who did you wrong, you know it takes supernatural strength. True or not true? When someone did you wrong, you know they did you wrong, you know you have a right to feel the way you feel about them and what they did, you know it takes supernatural strength to forgive them. And that's your born identity, is supernatural. So you absolutely can. God is absolutely asking you to choose forgiveness. Choose his life, his character, his nature. Choose his gifts and his ministry. You know, if you have a desire to flow in the gifts and minister in the anointing, forgiveness will always be a part of your lifestyle. Raise your hand if you want to flow in the gifts. If you want to flow in the gifts, it will always be. It will always be. I had a person who's close to us teach me a very valuable lesson. He said, Freddie, whatever you do, give all you have and expect nothing in return. And that was the greatest advice. We were just stepping out and starting Word Life. And that advice has held true all this time. All this time, 5 years. But I'm holding on to it. That has become a part of how I live my life. Only a strong root system can sustain a powerful life. Somebody say amen to that. Only. It doesn't matter what you look like on the surface. If your root system is raggedy, dying out, there's no powerful life available for us. Let's go to 1 John 4:17. This is the proof text to that statement. Now, this revelation shows us our true identity. This revelation gives us unlimited access to authority and the blessing. 1 John 4:17 says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." The only way we can present Jesus is by the way we know him. We can't present Jesus if we don't know him. If you have somebody in your life who you're representing, you're telling a story about, or you're trying to describe to somebody, if you don't know them, you're going to tear it up. You're gonna butcher the description of that individual. The only way you and I can represent Jesus is knowing him. And the subtitle is Life of Christ. We want the life of Christ to be represented to a lost and dying world. If we're gonna represent Jesus, if we're gonna represent Jesus, we gotta know him. We have to know him. Amen? The foundation of your life must be revelation and knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you know Jesus as he is, you'll understand who you are. And it's so important for us to get that. You know, knowing Jesus as he is, knowing Jesus as he is, not how we want to have him. Knowing Jesus and choosing the life of Christ requires living our lives accordingly. Take him as he is. Jesus is not a takeout menu. You can't say, "Lord, give me extra blessings, but hold the forgiveness. You know, I'll take prosperity, but hold the giving." It don't work that way. Knowing Jesus as he is, not as we want him. He's not a genie. He's not a rabbit's foot. If we want to know him, if we want the life of Christ to minister through us, we have to line ourselves up to the life that he lived. I don't really care for walking in love, Lord, but I want to be full. I want to be filled. I want to know your presence. It don't work that way. Amen. As he is, that's how we have to interact with him. John 14:12 tells us that we're supposed to do the works that Jesus did and then some. You know, you and I are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And to present him, to represent him to a lost and dying world, we need to know him. It's imperative that we decide in our hearts right now to pursue Jesus. You know, we'll go through the application right now, but I want the praise team to come back up, and we're going to sing that song, I don't want to hear me sing. Well, they are going to sing that song, Deep Cries Unto Deep, or whatever the title, the last song you guys sung. I want you to sing that, and I believe, and we're going to go through the application, and then we'll say goodbye to our folks online. And what I seen this morning is me laying hands on those who want hands laid on them, those who desire an impartation. I believe God is wanting to demonstrate the life of Christ in us. So let's go through our application. You guys have your notes? Number one says what? Live your life in Christ. There is a scripture in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 through 20 that is amazing. It talks about it's no longer I that lives, and it's a very, very powerful scripture. So get that into you. Living in Christ isn't a one-time decision. It's something we have to do on a daily basis. Number two says what? Be a living sacrifice. The problem with the living sacrifice is it has the option to get up at any time off that altar. When you're a living sacrifice, you have to choose to stay on the altar. Transformation comes by surrendering my beliefs. Raise your hand if you desire to be transformed into the image of Christ. If you desire to be transformed in the image of Christ, it requires you and I surrendering our beliefs. It requires you and I releasing our opinions and trusting Him above all else. Number three is what? Commit to serving. You've been entrusted with the likeness and the image of God. Do something with it. Love on somebody. Smile. You know, you can set, you can make somebody's day by just smiling at them. You know, saying, addressing them. Saying, God loves you. Saying good morning. You can minister to somebody by just serving them. God created you and I, and He gave us gifts to be given. You realize this? Every gift that God has given you is not for you. The gifts that God gave you was for ministering to others. Once you give yourself to Him, He fills you up, and you begin to overflow outwardly. Number four says what? Choose to forgive. We talked about forgiveness and the power it has in setting the forgiver free. Number five says what? Refuse to fear. Family, pay close attention to what causes fear to rise up in your life. Because sometimes fear is the fence that the enemy uses to keep you out of the promised land. When fear begins to rise up, pay attention to that. Why? What's going on? Why am I feeling this way? And a lot of the times, it's because the enemy is trying to prevent you from taking one step forward. With every head bowed and every eye closed, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Father, we know that you watch over your word to perform it. We know that you are pleased when your children have faith in you. And we trust you. We are confident in you. We rely on you. We put our hope and our trust, our faith in you. Father, I pray for every household represented, every viewer online, every household represented in the house right now. I pray over them right now that you will begin to stir up the gifts and the callings that are on the inside of them, that there will be an activation because of the anointing, that they will be ministered to, that you will begin to draw them to do exactly what you've called them to do. If there's things that you've told us to do and we haven't done it, remind us. Holy Spirit, we yield to you right now. Whatever you want to do. I'm going to have the prayer team come up. Holy Spirit, have your way.